This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man walah wa ba'd. Allahumma laka alhamdu hamdan kathiran tayyiban mubarakan fih. Thumma salatu wassalamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen, nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I bear witness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one worthy of worship, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam his last and final messenger. My dear brothers and sisters, I'm so glad and happy to be with you this night, a blessed night. This blessed night of Ramadan, the night of the 16th of Ramadan in 2012. And I know that there is nothing more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during this month, the month of Ramadan, more than reciting the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reading it in the salat or outside the salat. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used to send Jibreel to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam every and each Ramadan to review with him the Quran. Every year he would go over the whole entire Quran with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once during Ramadan, except the last year of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life. He reviewed the Quran, he read the Quran with him twice. And because of that particular hadith where the Prophet ﷺ used to read the whole entire Quran with Jibreel during Ramadan, Al-ulama said, it is ordained for us, it's even encouraged for us to read the whole entire Quran during the month of Ramadan. There is a great imam of the name of Yazid ibn al-Aswad, great scholars among the successors. He used to make Khatm al-Qur'an every 6 nights. But this is outside Ramadan. During the whole entire year. Every six days, he make one Khatm. Every 6 days, he finished the Qur'an. But when Ramadan start, he will finish the Qur'an. Every 3 days, he will make one Khatm. And when the last 10 days of Ramadan start, he will make Khatm al-Quran every night. Every single night. He will make one Khatm. Al-Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala used to make Khatm al-Quran in the last 10 days of Ramadan every single night. He will make one Khatm. Some people might say, Ya Shaykh, how this goes with the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he said, you should not read the whole entire Quran in less than 3 days. Al-Imam ibn Rajab al-Hanbali rahimahullah answered this. And he said that this hadith is meant is not going to be a habit. Yani don't make it like a habit. Because you will not understand. Unless you are in a place or a time that's so special, and you want to take full advantage of it. So in a case like this, it will be permissible for you to read the whole entire Quran even less than 3 nights or 3 days. That Imam Ibn Rajab rahimahullah said, such as you are in Mecca. And it's been reported so many scholars, when they are in Mecca, they will read the whole entire Quran in one day, in 24 hours. Less than 24 hours. And in Ramadan, the last 10 days of Ramadan, because like Laylatul Qadr, so if you finish the Khatmah in one night and happen to be Laylatul Qadr, as if you have read the whole entire Quran more than 1,000 months. It means 83 plus years. Can you imagine? 83 years, how many days in 83 years? A lot, isn't it?
31,000.
Can you do the math?
30,000.
Huh?
It's 30 times 1,000, so 30,000.
So 30,000 plus days, that's right? So it is equal to 30,000 plus khatmas. or whatever you read from the Quran. That's the fadl of Laylatul Qadr. Everything is multiplied by more than 1,000 months. So that's why ulama said in a such occasion, that's why you will see large number of Salaf Salih used to make Khatm al-Quran during this time. So I encourage myself and all my brothers and all my sisters to make this really the month of Quran and to dedicate ourselves toward this book, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I know some of you might say, Sheikh, I don't understand Arabic, I don't read Arabic, so my relationship with the Quran is not that strong. And I would say, it never was about how much you memorize, how much you read. Whatever you know from the Quran, make sure that your relationship with that part of the Quran is very strong. And increase it a little bit more. Maybe during this Ramadan you will be able to add one more surah to your readings. Just a small, maybe 2 or 3 lines. Because some of us, and I want us to be, before even I start my topic, I want to make sure that this issue settled. Some of us, last year, we had the same excuse. And I'm sure there is among us, people who did not increase a bit when it comes to the Quran. The exact amount of verses from last year is the exact amount of verses you know this year, if it's not less. Why? A whole entire year, you want to tell me you were not able to memorize one more line? But you know what happened? We just got this conference and I cannot read Arabic, I cannot read Quran, khalas. And I keep going years and years and years. I think the point is, because that issue is not something burning us. It's not something like I really care so much about. And that's the reality. No matter how much you say, I love the Quran. There is a hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, a man who Allah loved him, not because he read the whole entire Quran every night, not because he read and he memorized so much verses from the Quran, only because he memorized and he read often one surah, most of us memorize it, which is قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to tell him that Allah loves him for that. For that surah, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. From this hadith we learn a very important lesson. It's not about how much you memorize. It's about how much you care about the Quran. How much you care about the verses that you already memorize or you know or you're familiar with. How much you really love it, how much you're really living it, how much you really feel connected to it. It's one surah have made this among the successful one. Yes, I'm here to talk to you about success, but let me start by saying, the real meaning of success is to be among the successful one in the Day of Judgment. فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازْ. Those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will save them from the hellfire and let them enter paradise, they are the winners. The real winners. They are the successful one. In Taraweeh tonight, I was reading in my master in Surah Al-Kahf, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ هَلْ أُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِالْأَخْسَرِينَ أَعْمَالًا أَلَّذِينَ ضَلَّ سَعْيُهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ صُنْعًا. Do you want to know about the greatest losers in this dunya? The one who done so much, and they think they have done a lot of good things, but indeed they are gone astray. And all what they have done means nothing in the akhirah, means nothing in Allah's eyes. Weight nothing in the scale of the Day of Judgment. And I said tonight, early in the night today, tonight, I said to my community, I said, one of the meanings of this verse, for so many people in this dunya, they work hard, they earn degrees, they made money, they made houses, they made, mashallah, beautiful family, beautiful spouse, and wonderful kids. And I made it. I became successful. But he comes in the day of judgment. All these ones going to wait in the day, in your skill on the day of judgment. What are you going to tell to Allah? By the way, I made $300,000. Do you think he's going to wait anything in your skills on the day of judgment? You think he's going to wait anything in your skill on the day of judgment? Your degrees, your whatever you have? Nothing. This is in the dunya and you get the reward in the dunya for it. You think I'm successful, I'm this, I'm great, I'm mashallah, a very good person. And we know so many people, even sometimes Muslim and non-Muslim, they think that's the greatest success. But in the akhirah, all this means nothing. يَحْسَبُونَ and they thought they were great in the dunya, they were successful in the dunya. But indeed they are not. You know, there is a story of a boat, little boat in the middle of the lake. And you know the guy who managed the boat. One guy told him, hey, what kind of education you have? He said, I really don't have much of education. He said, you know what, I have a PhD in physics. I know so much, blah, blah, blah. Then the other guy said, so which school did you go to? He said, I didn't go to school. I didn't get a chance. My family raised me in an outside a farm and I was a pretty simple person. He said, you know what? I have a degree in chemistry. I know all these elements and this stuff. The guy said, okay, whatever. You take them for just the third person. He said, so what kind of talents and what kind of science that you know? He said, I don't know science. He said, you know, I'm a geek. Computer guy, scientist. And they start making fun of him because he doesn't know anything. So the boat starts sinking. So they said, you have to jump up. And there is no life jackets or anything like that. So three of them, they said, but we don't know how to swim. He said, yeah, let your degrees help you. I know how to swim. That's something I always learned. So what I'm trying to say, I'm not trying ever to put down degrees, success, money, being successful, person. I would love everybody to be successful. But what I really don't want, this hadith to apply to any one of us. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَبْغَضُ كُلَّ عَالِمٍ بِأَمْرِ الدُّنْيَا جَاهِلٍ بِأَمْرِ الْآخِرَةِ Allah hates every single one who is so knowledgeable of this dunya and so ignorant about the akhirah. That's what I don't want anyone to be. Make sure that you're not very well educated, well rounded, you have so much information about the dunya, but when it comes to the akhirah, nothing. You're zero. You're like a first grade level. That's unacceptable. Success is the month, this is the month of success. This is the month of falah, the month of success. You know, we as Muslims, Allah calls us towards success every day. Have you noticed? In the adhan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have put part of the adhan what? Hayya ala al-falah. What that means? Come to success. Come to success. You hear this every day 15 times. And if you are Hanafi, 20 times. And Malik. And even more. Hayya ala al-falah. Come to success. Have you ever thought about why Allah calling us upon us to success? He wants you to be a successful one. That's why I would love to see in our community, in our society, in you, the successful spouse who have a very successful family. I want to see among us a successful parent who successfully know how to communicate with their teens, who successfully can build a strong ties and relationship with each other and with their children. I want you to say, I'm a successful father. I'm a successful mother. I have a good relationship with my kids. I want you to be a successful child, a successful girl, and a successful boy who can proudly say, you know what? I don't have your problems. I have a very good relationship with my parents. I know how, whenever I need something, I know how to communicate with them very well. I want you to be a successful student. in your college, in your high school, in your elementary school, whatever level you are in. I want you to be a successful woman and a successful man in life. I want you to succeed in marrying the one that you're in love with. Or to marry the one that you would, not the one that you want to live with. I want you to be married to the one that you cannot live without. Which is even higher level. I want you to be a successful da'iyah. I want you to be a successful da'iyah who called to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want you to have a successful, achieve success in your da'wah, in your organization. I want this to be a very successful master, alhamdulillah. And this is good proof that at 2 a.m. we have this large number of people. Highly awake, mashallah. I want you to be a successful businessman and a businesswoman. I want to talk about the concept of success in this dunya. And the principle that I will give tonight can apply to anything. I want you to successfully be able to memorize the Quran. Successfully to be able to achieve any goal that you have in life. So these are very unique, generic rules and principles that I hope it will help us all to achieve success in this dunya and the akhirah as well. I want to start by saying, first point I would like to say, that don't ever think, the challenges that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make you go through it, the difficulties that you face in your life. If you're going now through certain difficulties or hardship or a challenge in your life, I want you to know for sure 100% that this is not the opposite of success. That's not the enemy of success. Mistakes, failures, hardship. A lot of people think that they are the enemy of success, but isn't at all. You can be discouraged by failure, or you can learn from it. You know, I always say that. We call good things happen to our life, bounties, and any bad things happen to me in my life, I call it experience. I just build an experience in life. Part of what we believe as mu'min, as a believers, as Ahlul Sunnah al-Jama'ah, that everything Allah decreed upon us, it is for our best interest. For our best interest. That's why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, whatever happened to you, you have two options. Either a rida, to be content, and to know and to seek the wisdom behind it. قَالَ فَمَنْ رَضِي فَلَهُ الرِّضَى. If you're content and you're satisfied, and you show your patience and acceptance of Allah's decree upon you, Allah will make you satisfied, content with your heart. وَمَنْ سَخِطْ فَلَهُ السُّخْطْ. And anybody will basically act discouraged and will act with anger against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and angry at Allah, Allah will make him angry and he will never achieve success. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in the Quran, لَا تَحْسَبُوهُ شَرًّا لَكُمْ بَلْ هُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. Don't think ever it is something bad. Yes, it looked bad, but indeed it is good for you. You might think it is bad, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings so much good out of it. Out of it. There's so many people went through hardship and calamities, and they end up very successful in their life. They end up very successful in their life. I was just parking my car in the parking lot, and I come across this. When I see this car, I always remember the story. I saw a Honda. I always remember this man, Mr. Honda. His life is an amazing. This guy has no degree in mechanical engineering. He never studied his car or going to schools or anything like that. He used to work in a tow company. They tow cars. You know, like so many here. I saw a couple of them outside. I hope they're not towing people's car. But anyway, you know, he used to work in a company like that. And one day he decided, you know, to come up with an idea. What he invented? He invented something very interesting. He invented a bicycle, and he put in it a motor. Motorbike was something new. And this is because of the war, of the war at that time. There is no much gas and oil in Japan. So he invented this as a means of transportation. The idea became very popular. He started a small factory. But soon after the business started picking up, the factory was burned. And to ashes. Yes, to start from scratch. And he built a big factory. He went through the business. It's a long story. But the point, he was able to get in the hotel business. And after that, went to another to build a factory. Became big. And when the business started like going better and better and better, the war destroyed his factory. Just a bomb made him start from scratch again. For the third time. But the third time when he built the factory, he did not only focus on building motorbike. He thought about cars. And it became one of the leading company in the world today that so many people enjoy. Don't ever think that it's a bad thing for you to start with that challenge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put it for his life. He never thought that's the end of it. He learned from it. You ride this wave to carry you higher. Sometimes a stumble may prevent a fall. It prevents a fall. So sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put you in that hardship just to make you ready for the next one. He wants best for you. And I don't know if you heard me saying this before, but I always use this example since I'm from Texas. And it's a true story about people living in the South. You know, they used to love to bring codfish. You know where codfish grows? Anybody have an idea? Where codfish will be? In the Gulf of Mexico? No, codfish live in cold water. So they catch it from up north in Canada and Maine, and they bring it to Louisiana and Texas. They love it. But by the time they bring it, it's frozen, it's not fresh, nobody likes it. So they bring one guy from the southern, get a container, and put all this fish in it, and bring it. But the time it arrived, it was so smushy, and it's not tasty at all, because it doesn't move the whole trip. So you know what this guy did? He put in that tanker, big tanker, he dropped the natural predators of the codfish, which is catfish. He dropped 3-4 in the tank. In the whole entire trip, the catfish kept every single codfish in that tanker alive, moving, alert. And you know, by the time they arrived to the southern, they were so fresh because they are moving all the time. I always say sometimes Allah drop in your way a couple of catfish. Just to keep you alert, to keep you fresh, to keep you strong. Not ever to make you down, not to put you down. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He put you through that test, it's to make you grow stronger, not to grow weaker. That's why in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يُبْتَلَ النَّاسُ عَلَى قَدْرِ إِيمَانِهِ. You will be tested according to your faith. Allah knows how much you can bear. Allah knows how much you can take. But the more your iman is stronger, why He put more pressure on you? Because the more you resist the pressure, the more valuable person you are. The only reason the black diamonds is so expensive, so valuable, because it has the ability to resist pressure. Otherwise, black diamonds and charcoal are from the same root, the same exactly elements. The only difference between the charcoal, which is so cheap, and the black diamond is very expensive. The black diamond has the ability to resist pressure. But the charcoal, you can crush it with your hand. The moment you have that ability to resist pressure, you are a very valuable person in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's eyes. Number two. Success can be achieved by those who use the talents that Allah has given them. Without using and utilizing the talents, every one of us is unique, like everybody else. That will make sense. Every one of us is gifted. Listen to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. وَاللَّهُ أَخْرَجَكُمْ مِنْ بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا. Allah brought you all from your mother womb, know nothing. وَجَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ. And Allah blessed you with hearing, the ability to hear, the ability to see, and He gave you mind, sound mind. What that means, these are the talents, this is the tools. If you use it, you will not stay in the status of ignorant. You get out of your mother, know nothing. But Allah give you these tools so you can acquire the knowledge. What do you think that Imam al-Bukhari came from his mother womb saying, حَدَّثَنَا? He was crying and screaming like you. Do you think Abu Hanifa came out of his mother saying, مَسْأَلَا, فَتْوَا? No. He came a child like you. But the different that they utilize the talents that Allah has given them. You know, these talents are Allah's gift to you. But unfortunately, so many of us have never opened their packages yet. What you do with this gift is your gift back to Allah. Wallahi, it is sad that so many of us have so much potential, so much talent. But it never was utilized. It never was tapped. And people live and die with it. They don't try. I always believe that the difference between successful person and others is not the lack of the strength and not the lack of knowledge. No. Rather in the lack of will. That people don't have the determination, the will, the power of will to achieve and to utilize what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them. Because we can have more than what we have got, because we always can be more than what we are today. That's why when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the angels, remember this. About Adam, He said, إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. I know about Adam what you don't know. I don't know that he's capable, him and his children, of so many things. Of so many things. So I want you to believe in yourself and to believe in the talents and look for it. And that's why one of the most beautiful things that I would like to see it in the masajid, in the active brothers and sisters who work with the youth, work with the community, to explore the talents of the community. I want you as a parent to explore the talents of your kids and support it and make it grow. Discover the talent of your wife, the talent of your husband. You're never too old to find out. It is so wrong to die and these talents have never been used and utilized. Success, the third principle, is based on a very important concept in Islam. It's called Al-Ihsan. Al-Ihsan, it means to do things perfect. Absolutely correct. You should ask yourself, is it good or great? You should ask yourself, do I just want to be a good or I want to be a great? Do I want to do things, I just did it, or I want to do it right? I want to do it correctly. Because the difference between failure and success, failure is doing things nearly right. But success, doing it exactly right. That's right. I mean, if there is a race, and you nearly made it towards the final line, but you stopped 100 feet before that. Nearly right, nearly there. But you didn't succeed. That's why one of the most important concepts here is the concept of al-ihsan. Your ability to do more than good enough. Good is enough. Your ability to do more than just good. You always aim for a higher level. You shoot high. رضي الله عن Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, he never settled to be just a normal individual. Even in Jannah, when the Prophet ﷺ said that Jannah has eight gates, what Abu Bakr said, he said, Ya Rasulullah, would I be among those who would be invited from the eight gates of paradise? That's right? And the Prophet ﷺ said, yes. From how many gates Abu Bakr will enter? From how many gates?
One.
Yani, you think Abu Bakr's one leg from one gate and one and the head from another gate, and yani, he will be cut in eight pieces? Or go this gate and get out and try the other one? No. The rules, you walk into Jannah, you never walk out. That's how it works. So he can enter from one gate. So why in the world he asked me about being called from the eighth gates? Because he doesn't want to be just good. He want to be great. He want to have the privilege of making the choice. I want to choose which gate I want to enter from. Our level today, our yani, brothers and sisters today, our son, you ask us, you say, let me enter Jannah from anywhere, man. From the window, underneath the gate, you know, just throw me in. I don't care. Just, I want to just be in. That's the difference. He want to do things to the most perfect way. Not favor of being perfectionist. Because those people don't accomplish much in their life. But I want what the Prophet ﷺ said. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ إِذَا عَمِلَ أَحَدُكُمْ عَمَلًا أَنْ يُتْقِنَ. Allah loves it. Allah loves it. When someone of you makes something that they will do it perfectly right. Perfectly correct. Wallahi, I'm so sick of half job, sloppy job. Even you see sometimes, mashallah, they build very good, beautiful building, and in the end, they just cut corner and make it look so bad. Mashallah, everything looks great, and I do, but you know what? I'm cheap. I don't want to go all the way. I need to make it all the way. One of the meanings of itqan, being to do things right and perfect, is the ability to focus. That's part of al-ihsan. Because if you are all over the place, you will get nothing. But to focus. What's wrong with you focusing on this group, and other people focus on that group, this issue, and other people focus on that issue? You know, some organizations focus on civil rights issues. Some organizations work on and focus on building community government relations. Other group in the community focus on education. Other group focus on adult education, children education, Quranic education, and everybody focus. But you have one group, they are super any center, super organization. They want to cover 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 10. That's unacceptable. You know what? You end up with nothing. Because you have no ability to focus. You didn't have the infrastructure, the manpower to do that. That's why we don't do things with ihsan. We just want to put our name here and there and that's it. In my message, sometimes when people come and say, Sheikh, we want to have Islamic schools, we want to have... I said, I can't do that. If I do that, I will mess up whatever I'm good at. I can't provide everybody's need. I focus on one thing and I'm not going to let anything to distract me. And that's the ability of to succeed. SubhanAllah, when Allah talk about the Quran and about the Salat, He doesn't just say As-Salat. He said, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. The highest level of the Salat. Those have khushu in the Salat. They are the real successful one. Number four. The Prophet ﷺ laid out very clearly. He said, إِنَّمَا النَّصْرُ مَعَ الصَّبْرِ. He stated crystal clear. He said, you achieve success and victory if you are patient. Those who have no patience, they cannot concentrate, they cannot spend time, they cannot achieve success. You don't have patience, you cannot focus. You don't have patience, you cannot have a continuous, basically, work. You drop the ball down on the road. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. Khusr is the opposite of success. All man in age in khusr, which is the opposite of success, failure, losing, in losing business. Except those who have belief, they go do good deeds, and they remind each other to be stay patient. And they have certainty, yaqeen, and knowledge. Patience is the key of success. Inna Allaha ma'a as-sabirin. Allah with the sabirin, those who are sabr. And if Allah with you, I guarantee you success. In your business, in your life, in any area. Because again, I'm talking about the success in every aspect of your life. Being patient will allow you to have self-control over your emotions, over your reactions. Sometimes you lose a lot if you cannot do that. You know, self-control, without it, is like riding a car. It's like riding a Toyota car with no brakes. I guess they fixed it now. Okay, so like driving a car without a brake, you cannot succeed. You need to know that self-control. Without patience, you will never be able to have that self-control. Patience will allow you to have always the time to think and to analyze things in the right way. To think before you act. If you don't have patience, you will haste to act. You'll rush to act. You don't think properly. People who have patience, they have the ability to have a long-term goals. Those who don't have patience in life, they don't have a long-term goals. And see it yourself. If you're not a patient person, always you're looking for quick things. You don't have a long-term goals. One of the beautiful meanings that Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said, one of the meaning of being patient, that you have the ability to adjust to the new situation. Those who are not patient people, they cannot adjust to the new situation. That's why I always say to people, sabr is not a passive action. A lot of people think sabr, it means I do nothing. Okay, I'm sabr. I'm having sabr. I have sabr, class. Passive. Actually, sabr is to do something. Ibn al-Qayyim said, is to adjust yourself to the new situation that you are in. You became poor, you became broke, you became in debt. You need sabr to adjust yourself to this new style of life. You became rich, that's a new lifestyle. You need sabr to adjust yourself to the new style that you have. It's a beautiful, it's a positive thing. It's not just a passive me. Number five, your attitude towards life will basically determine how life will treat you. So, remember this, it's your attitude. What's your attitude towards life? Is it a positive? Is it a negative? The big thing is not what happens to us in life, but what we do about what happens to us in life. That's the big question. It's not what happened to us in life, it's what we do about what happened to us in life. Do you live your life like a victim or like a victor? What is your attitude? I see, and I'm sorry to say that, I see sometimes Muslim communities, some individuals, some organizations, they always like to live that victim mentality. They always like to cry. We've been discriminated against, we are treated bad, we are this, we are that. You live like, just want to live like a victim mentality. And I think that's a crime against our community. You know, we need to raise our children, we raise our generation, we live like victors. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the mu'mineen in the battle of Uhud, after so many of them were killed, and technically they lost the battle. Allah, what he said, ولا تهنوا ولا تحزنوا وأنتم الأعلون. Don't ever give up. Don't feel humiliated and defeated. Your enemy can knock you down from outside, but they cannot defeat you from inside unless you allow them to do so. Unless you allow them to do so. There is nobody ever can ride your back unless you bend your back. As Martin Luther King said once. So it's about what is your attitude towards life. See, Safiya came to the Prophet ﷺ and said, Ya Rasulallah. Say, Nabi ﷺ, an amazing teacher. They are making fun of me because I used to be a Jew. I'm from a Jewish family. Then Nabi ﷺ wanted to give her that positive attitude. He said, what's wrong? They're so jealous of you. What's jealous of me? They are from Quraysh, tribe, Arabs. They share with you the same heritage. What I would be jealous of? She said, you are married to a prophet, and your uncle is a prophet, and your great-grandfather is a prophet. Your great-uncle is a prophet, and your great-grandfather is a prophet. Musa and Harun. And you married to a prophet. Who's among these ladies, their forefathers were prophets? None. See, it's the attitude. It's just to change the way you look at life. You look at yourself. Some people, when they go to job, I said, hey, mashallah, you got a good job. He said, yeah, I'm doing an interview for the job. I said, what will determine if you accept the job or not? He said, what I'm going to get out of the job. Isn't that what everybody think of? That's what most of the people think, what I'm going to get out of the job. And on the other side, you know what, I think the most important question to ask yourself when you look for a job, choose a career, go to college, is not what I'm getting. I think the most important question to ask yourself, what am I becoming? What I will be, if I accept the job, what's going to make me? If I accept this career, what I will be? Not what I'm going to get, what I will be, how this will impact my life. That's a different attitude. Your attitude towards life will determine how successful you will be in life. Positive mental attitude is something very important. You know, if you want to be a successful. When you always think, how can I do things? Rather than saying, I cannot do things. Ask you, how can I do it? Don't say I cannot do it. It's a different attitude. It's a different attitude. You know, when a man came to the Prophet ﷺ, drunk, several times, not one, not two, not three, and even in some duration he wasn't Ramadan. Some people cursed him. Look at the positive attitude the Prophet ﷺ wanted to bring up. He said, don't. I know that he loves Allah and his messenger. He wanted them to think in the positive way, not the negative way. Yes, this is a bad, it's negative. But also there's so much positive in the person. You can focus on it and make through that the change that you want to achieve. What is your attitude towards your family, towards your children, towards your spouse, towards your job? And that will determine how successful you will be in these areas. Number six, so I don't want to keep you for long. I want you to know, success cannot be based on your dreams. Success cannot be just based on... Dreams motivate you, but dreams are not enough to make a successful person. Talk and words is not going to make a successful person. It's actions. The only time you will find success comes before work only in the dictionary. But in real life, it doesn't come before work. Success. You have to work and to work hard. The Prophet ﷺ said, hire camel and have, and basically have trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to do the action. Don't just have thoughts and ideas, because a lot of people talk, but few act. Few act. Those who talk too much and do little, those who cares about titles and basically big names, and they don't care about real meanings and real things in life, I think they are just a bunch of losers in life. And I've seen a lot of them. I think that's one of the signs of hypocrisy. I see people fight over what's the name of my, what my title in the organization, what is this. So we spend, I know a group of young people spend months writing bylaw for the organization they're planning to have. And after months of fighting over the bylaw, blah, 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 and big names, and what is the organization? Nothing. Because it's all talk. There's no actions. My dear, you cannot build reputation in what you are going to do. I think Henry Ford once said that. You only can build a reputation based on what you have done. That's why I always ask a parent when they tell me, Sheikh, if somebody proposed to my daughter, what should I ask him? I said, simple. So ask him what you have achieved in life. Just go back and listen. Sit back and listen. What are these guys? I once arranged a marriage between two couples, a brother and a sister. So they sit in the table. Her father asked me to present her. So I asked the same question. I said, you asked. So he asked her, what did you achieve in life? She said, I was the NSA president. My goal was, when I was president, is to achieve 1, 2, 3, 6 goals and achieve 5 of them in 1 year. And the 6th one I couldn't do because 1, 2, 3 reasons. I want to be in the medical school. I'm in the medical school now. And she laid out all her achievements. The brother came. Fortunately, he's a good brother. He said, when he was also MSA president, I had a lot of good ideas. And I really was looking forward to build love and unity and you know, harmony in the college. And alhamdulillah, I think the brother, I enjoyed it so much. It was a great experience for me. And you know, alhamdulillah, I'm like studying. Okay. I just thought. He did not point a single point that he achieved. He's all over the place. Believe me, this is so many of us like that. Success based on a good plan. To plan good from a very early age. You know your target, what you want to be. You know there is a great man, his name Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, one of the most successful people in the history. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, he was very clear in his targets in life. He said, I have clear goals and targets in life. And I plan for it. He said, one of my targets, to marry the Khalifa's daughter, the most beautiful woman, the most beloved woman to me. She's his cousin, Fatima, and I married her. Very well-known, noble woman. One of my targets and goals in life, he said, is to be able to spread the sunnah. And he achieved that. He's the first one who established a committee to collect the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. He's one of the first people who have made this system that if you full-time student of hadith, they will give you a salary, they will help you financially. If you're full-time teachers for the hadith, he will give you a salary and will support you financially. And he spread teachers all over the world. He had a very clear goal when he became Khalifa to establish justice in the society. And he became the most just rulers that they gave him as an example, not by Muslim, Muslim and non-Muslim as well. This man, one of his goals, he said, is to achieve a social justice. And he did. I don't have time to go examples. One of his goals is to fix the economy of the Umayyads, the Umayyads emperor at that time. And he achieved. He balanced the budget. He had extra money, surplus in his budget, actually, when he died. In 2.5 years, they take the zakat. They couldn't find a single poor person to take the zakat. After the country was in debt. Very clear. He said, I have a goal to be a khalifa. And I became a khalifa. He said, there is one goal left for me. What is it? He said, Jannah. And I'm working hard towards it. That's what Umar ibn Aziz said. So, one of the things is to have a very clear goal in your life. Goals, not one. For example, a lot of us say, Al-Qur'an, Al-Qur'an, Al-Qur'an. Have you ever determined a very clear goal, what you want to achieve in Al-Qur'an? You know what? My goal is clear. I want to memorize, for example, Surah Saba. I want to finish Surah Al-Rahman. In that amount of time. Very clear, very, very clear goal. I want to study this subject. I want to do that in my life. That's what I like it when I ask someone, what's your goal in life? And he answered me with confidence that day. What if your community member in this masjid asked, what do you want to be? He said, I want to be a congressman. He didn't even think twice about it. I was like, wow. The tone of his voice is just making me say, I'll vote for you, man. It's just the tone of his voice is so determined. Make me so proud of him when he said that. In order for you to plan good, you need to know where you stand now. Believe it or not, a lot of people, they know where they want to be, but they know where they are, they don't know where they are. How far they are from the goal. You need to know where you stand, in which ground. It's point B, but you need to know where is point A, exactly in the map. If you want to have a good planning, make sure you have a good timing. Clear. Consult. You have the ability to set your priorities correct. All this will allow you to have a good plan. You have a multiple tools to use in life. It's very poor planning if you think you can achieve this goal through one only way. Good planning, always you have. You know, if plan A doesn't work, you still have. You still have 25 other letters in the alphabet. Then B, C, D, E, F, G. Why only B? You can have so many. To can be used. You always have multiple plans. That's a good plan. Look at the Prophet ﷺ when he plans his hijrah. Just give you an example from the Sirah al-Baqarah. When he planned the migration from Mecca to Medina. The timing, night. Two, he chose a non-Muslim to be his leaders in the trip. Because if the Muslim, he will raise doubts, right? What the Muslim guy doing here? But non-Muslim, nobody would think the Prophet ﷺ traveled with a non-Muslim. And the non-Muslim looking for him. It's a good plan, good choice. And 3 nights he stayed in the cave before he started the journey. He left Mecca and immediately hide in the cave for 3 nights. Then after that he started the journey. So 3 nights, they look everywhere. They think that he is already in the road to Medina. So they want to capture him. But he was actually in Mecca hiding in one of the caves for 3 nights. He hired someone to bring his sheep and to walk behind the Prophet ﷺ. Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ footsteps and the camels, when the sheep walk after the Prophet ﷺ, their footprints will be mixed with the sheep's. So nobody can knows where the Prophet ﷺ is going. Good plan. He chooses carefully who he wants to travel with, Abu Bakr. All this good planning. He didn't say, I'm prophet, let me just do it. and Allah will take care of the rest. Yeah. If you want to be successful in your life, you have to have a good role models in life. Good stories that motivate you. Why do you think the Quran gives us all these stories about the prophets? Because they are role model. For Muhammad ﷺ, for the companions, for me and you. Be modeling those who are already successful. You have, when you have good stories, you have that sense of probability. You know, I can make it. They made it, I can make it too. So choose a role model. That will accelerate your progress towards success. لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي قَصَصِهِمْ عِبْرَةً. In their story, there's lessons. They are role model for all of us. It doesn't mean you only have role model the Prophet ﷺ. That means the ultimate role model, the companion. You can even have role models in life. Teachers, people that you know the stories of them. Number nine, and only 2 points left. Number nine is success is very much connected to how much self-esteem you have. You have to have a high self-esteem, self-assurance, confidence. The greater barrier between you and success is the fear of failure. If you don't believe in yourself, nobody else believes in you. So many people wish to be somebody else. That's really a waste of the person you are. Be confident in yourself. Trust yourself. Because you've been created by Allah. Allah chose you the way you are. Do you think Allah doesn't know what He's doing? Allah honored you. You're a mu'min, you're a believer. You're someone Allah made the angel cross-land himself before your grandfather. You're the one who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the day of Arafah and in the Laylat al-Qadr and in nights like these nights, He will gather the angels who are more powerful than us, who are more pure than us, who are greater than us in so many aspects. But with all of this, Allah will gather them and let them see. He said, look at my servants. He's so proud of you. How come you can't be proud of yourself? How can you don't see yourself as somebody valuable? Don't say I'm going to be humble, because humbleness is not to think less of yourself. Humbleness is to think less about yourself. But it doesn't ever mean that you think less of yourself. And Islam doesn't want you to think less of yourself. Islam also doesn't want you to be arrogant. But to have that self-confidence, self-assurance. I know so many marriages fall apart. It is because of this problem. Because the girl or the boy, they have no self-assurance. They always think that they cannot make it. Self-assurance doesn't mean to be fool, to be unwise person. No, it means you walk with confidence. Confidence gives you that power, that fuel to keep going. Last point. Success, in the end of the day, it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With all these elements, which has been asked to do, you have to know that it's in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because all these tools, all these principles, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can make it fail to work. But He will never give you success without it. Or what is similar to it, because that's how it is. You take the necessary means, you achieve the success. But with tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't make your role model Qarun. قَالَ إِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ عِنْدِي. I became a successful businessman because I'm smart. I don't want to sound like Obama now. So your success is not because you're a hard worker, because you're smart. Someone down the road, the teacher, so, you know, if you guys follow politics. You know, so, and that's the right concept. I agree with that. That a person should not be arrogant, think that I made that success by myself. There is somebody else have contributed to your success. And the best and the top of all them is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ. Any ni'mah, any bounty, any success that you have today, it is from Allah. Make sure that you keep this always clear in your mind. And that would make you always be a person of humility. It will make you grateful to Allah, because Allah said, if you are grateful to Him, He will give you more. In the end, my brothers and sisters, you've been doing great things. You've been fasting these long days, praying these long nights, donating from your wealth and your money, giving up so many things, giving up food and drink, and some of you more than that during the daytime. And this is not something easy. This is something very valuable in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's eyes. If you can do that, that means you have so much to offer. You have a very good control over yourself. That's why I can tell you with confidence that I have a great belief in you. I believe you can be the successful parent. I believe that you can be that successful student. I believe that you can be that successful husband and successful wife. I believe that you can be that successful businessman or woman. I believe you will succeed in changing the bad habits that you are suffering from. I believe that you can be successfully quit smoking, using drugs, or being involved in haram things, or attached to something haram. I can know successfully you can go over that. I believe that you successfully can marry the one that you love. I believe you can successfully memorize the Quran, or part of the Quran that you are interested in. I believe that you are successfully can be committed to Qiyam al-Layl. If you take these necessary steps, I believe in you. I believe you all can achieve the ultimate success, the ultimate goal for all of us, which is Jannatul Firdaus. Allahumma ameen. I just want you to make sure that from tonight, don't let this month goes by and you don't already have built your plan for your success in this dunya and in the akhirah. Go plan for your success. Act towards it with full confidence in Allah and what He has blessed you with. And always remember, only dead fish swim with the current. Only dead fish swim with the current. Live fish, they swim against the current. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among the successful one. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala arzuqna wa iyaakum al-khayr wa i'inina wa iyaakum ala ma fi ramadhan wa an yu'inina wa iyaakum ala ma baqi minhu wa an yataqabbala ma madha minhu. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept all the deeds that we have offered so far in Ramadan and to help us to do more and to worship Him subhanahu wa ta'ala in the rest of the days of Ramadan in the way that it will please Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, in a way that it will lead to our sins to be forgiven and our levels in Jannah to be risen, and to make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy and proud of us, and to grant us the Firdaus al-A'la, us and our parents and our children. Allahumma ameen. And thank you very much for inviting me tonight. I have to start heading back towards my southeast area in Clear Lake, but I wish inshallah a blessed night. And if there's anything I left with you, we can always, I know I live in Houston, but kind of not much, yani often I come to this part of town, but I would like to say, to announce two things very quickly. One thing that I always encourage people to communicate with me, to keep in touch together, is through my Twitter or my Facebook page. You're both more than welcome to communicate. I get all the questions and answers through Twitter's only, not Facebook page. But if you go to the Twitter, if you have questions or anything, inshallah, I'll be more than happy to answer it through my Twitter account, which is at Waleed, W-A-L-E-E-D, K, Basuni, B-A-S-Y-O-U-N-I. So this is something you can, inshallah, or if you go to my fan page, you Google it, you'll see, and you join in, inshallah, and that will be a good way to keep, you should use this technology to keep us in good connections, and use it in the best form, inshallah ta'ala. That's one. Two, I'm happy to announce as well, inshallah, the return of Texas Da'wah Conference this year. So, and one of the main reasons that we really brought it up is this part of town, this particular message, this particular community, that it's always been a great support for Texas Da'wah Convention, Texas Da'wah Convention. So inshallah, this year, we have a lot of great surprises. And one of the things about Texas Da'wah, I want to say, Texas Da'wah Convention has been always about discovering new talents in the Muslim community. There are so many paramount speakers today in America, they started in Texas Da'wah. And this year, I have three surprises for you. Three young speakers that they will rock the house. And I'm betting on them even more than the senior speakers. Inshallah ta'ala. So, and I'm hoping, inshallah, to see among you as well, speakers or organizing events, and the floor is open. It's one day, and it's going to be with mass convention, inshallah ta'ala. And we're happy to participate and to partnership with them. Last year was a great experience. This year, inshallah, will be even much better. So,